Hello, world, and welcome to the Innovation Coaching Podcast. My name is Klaus Rostel, and with me today, I have Anna Karina Arak. Anna, tell me how I can help.
Hello, Klaus. Always a pleasure. I'm very, very happy. Thank you for your time, always. And thank you for having me here, asking you all sorts. As you probably know, I am a big fan of the Prize Club. And then I think I have in a number of occasions highlight the fact that, you know, and I do like your approach to price in terms of, yes, price is something that comes with a tag of a number, but for me it's much more than that, or specifically for Imagine Experiences. And I explain to you why. If you go out there and you're trying to find a tour in most of the countries as a traveler, you're either going to get a walking tour where you have a person that walk around with you for a number of hours and charge you a price, or a tip. Then you have a tour where you get a driver and a car and a guide, or a guide a drive. There is no consistency on the story. You can get a good guide, you can get a bad guide. There isn't the companies that use. And whenever they get to a destination, they suggest that's the restaurant you should eat. There isn't an inclusivity of services. Or you get some sort of museum attraction where you visit, which is in a venue, and you might get a drink on arrival, or a 10% discount for a burger or something. When we decided to start creating our products, we decided to create what we call all inclusive. But the idea was that the food and the drink and the activities and the museums and the ticketing and all the elements of that, they were almost like a little trips in one day, because our experiences are day experiences. We don't do multi-days. So, and you get everything. You get your breakfast, you get your drink, you get, but it's not that we wanted to include it because we wanted to create a full day package with food. It's because the food, the drink, the activities act as a meaning to deliver the story. It's almost like, how can you talk about James Bond and do not include a martini shaking on stir? It's not like we want to, oh, you get a drink at the end to being a good person. How could you not include, for example, we start at the beginning with full breakfast because we think you're going to be an agent. We're going to train you. And the breakfast is actually Ian Fleming's favorite. So we're already telling you something. The food is another channel to deliver the story. What we think it might be, and that could be either way, a benefit or a challenge could be either way, is that it comes across as a more expensive. Oh, I'm paying this for the day. But the thing is, we tell customers, do not have to put your hands in your pocket for the rest of the day. And really, my main, probably not concern, but I would absolutely love to hear what you think about the best way to communicate that concept, because that's what makes us different, and how we come across as a valuable, as a adding value instead of being expensive, and how we communicate that. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense to me. And just for context, for those of you out there who followed what Anna said without getting all of it, then she and her team do these amazing one-day experiences where you get to be have a James Bond experience, or maybe it could be a Bridgerton experience, or it could be a Parisian experience of being a French artist. They do anything and everything, and they do pretty wild stuff. But as you said, Anna, you do that. You don't do the movie and then somebody else does the food. You do the movie and the food and the dinner and the street walk, and it's all bundled into one whole consistent experience. So the martini is, of course, part of the James Bond experience. And if you're going to eat breakfast anyway, why not have it be part of the James Bond experience? And then you get Ian Fleming's favorite breakfast, of course. So I think there we're already at something interesting, which is when we talk about things and when we talk about price, words matter even more than price tags. They matter even more than numbers. A lot of people think pricing is about numbers. Yes, pricing is about numbers, right? People would rather pay 60 euros than 80 euros, except if they wanted to be an expensive necklace for their sister's 50th anniversary, then they would rather pay 800 euros than 500 euros if they can afford 800, because they don't want to feel cheap. So one thing is that numbers matter, yes, but words matter. And the reason I want to say that is that, let's take a bar, the concept of a bar. It is a space you go into and you meet people, either new people, or maybe you go with friends or something like that. Maybe there's a concert. Maybe it's just the bar with some music. And we expect at a bar, we expect there to be music, not too loud because we want to talk with people, but loud enough to be interesting. We expect that we can buy drinks. We don't expect to get them for free, but we expect that we can buy drinks. We don't expect to pay to go to the toilet. If you run a bar and you ask people to pay to go to the toilet, then most will think you run a very strange bar. We don't have them pay for the tables unless they're the really fancy tables. Then you pay for table service and the VIP lounge, and maybe that gives you alcohol, but you know you're paying extra for the table. But in general, you don't pay for the table. You don't pay for the music unless there's live performance, in which case you might pay for the music, or maybe you don't. You do pay for the drinks unless you pay for a free bar, which is usually for a closed event. And the reason I'm saying this is that, what do we pay for and what's included and how do we talk about? Just the concept that if I say, oh, we're going to an event, there's a free bar, it means that you don't have to pay for the bar, because for you, the experience will be of a free bar. But for the person who's paying to host you, maybe it's a company, maybe it's a friend inviting to a party, it's definitely not a free bar. Then it's a bar where you pay a set amount and then everybody drinks. Or maybe they pay for each drink and they note it down. But all these small things of what do we pay for, what are we used to paying for, matters a lot. So that's just to intro it, that imagine you had a bar where you paid to go to the toilet, you paid to sit at the table, but you didn't pay for the drinks. That'd be very different, right? Very different sort of bar than what we're used to. And what you're doing with these wonderful experiences is that you are bundling some of the things people pay for with some of the things they don't pay for.
Correct.
And that's where it gets interesting, right? Because if I'm paying 79 euros or 79 pounds for a Jane Austen experience that involves walking through a park, watching people in costume, or walking by a lakeside and writing poetry to the people I've come with. Well, that technically doesn't cost anything to deliver, except it's definitely valuable. And then I'm also getting breakfast, and I'm getting dinner, I'm getting a horse coach ride, and I'm getting to get see a museum, and all these things are now bundled together in that 79 pounds. And that means that if I try to kind of separate them and say, ah, but the dinner probably costs 40 and the horse coach ride costs 30 and et cetera, then suddenly it needs to, in my head, to add up to be more, and then I'll like the bundle. And if it adds up to be less, then I won't like the bundle. So that's the first thing, is if you're making it obscure, then people will do mental calculations. And if those mental calculations lead them to saying, oh, but I got a 19-pound drink, and I got the 45-pound museum, and I got the 60-pound dinner, and I got the 24-pound horse ride, and it only cost 109, wow, that's an amazing experience. Where if they're saying they got the 4-pound drink, and they got the 6-pound dinner, and they got the 10-pound museum, and you charge 79, then even if they also had the beautiful park ride and they had the street poet and they had the guided tour by the guide who was cheap because he's a student, then they're going to feel they got ripped off.
Okay.
Even though the experience may be great, because they're doing the mental, oh, what's it worth?
Correct. And how you think you best, for example, you best communicate that at the moment? And that's probably adding now another layer of information here, totally new one. So, you know, I think I've mentioned to you that in partnership with a auteur, Alex Bainbridge, we started pretty earlier than everyone else to experiment with AI. We didn't do it on a what I call it admin way, which most people are, which is planning your trip, getting your, you know, customer service. We try to use AI, and that's what we did, as a way to enhance the actual experience. So when our customers book any experience, they get, each experience is linked what we call a character. That character is a character that we have created linked to the experience. In the case, again, let's continue with James Bond. In the case with James Bond, it's Miss Moneypenny. And you receive a QR code in which you download the QR code, and we have developed the opportunity for you to engage with Miss Moneypenny in a way that she supports you to almost got a free companion that takes you through your trip. A companion that will engage emotionally with you and what you're doing, and you develop a relationship at the time of the booking. Taking into account that the booking horizon is average 4 or 5 weeks means that we notice that our customers engage 5-6 times a week, and let's say a few days prior to the actual experience, they engage 11 times a day. So it helps you to, what should I wear? It's going to rain, personal stuff. The other stuff is that we manage the customer service, which makes it a lot nicer. And most recently, Alex has developed what we call workshops. They discuss with you. Before, you ask them something and they reply. It was a passive relationship. Now they ask you, why, Klaus, how was London? What did you eat? Why did you eat that? And you know that? And obviously, each of them have a speciality. We have Barnaby. We have an experience called 500 Years of Royal Gossip, Crown Gossip, Royal Family. And this is Barnaby the butler, and Barnaby is a gossiper. Barnaby knows everything, and you can have a discussion, right? So we think this is an added value, and we put it on the inclusions, like a drink, because at the end of the story you get lost, and most important, you can speak or engage with that character in 17 languages. Meaning, if you're lost in a street or you cannot find a restaurant, or that character is your friend there to support you. It's so many things that we are at the moment putting into our packages that I almost found it a struggle. It's a great struggle to have, but it is a struggle. How do I communicate that to, how best to communicate that to the customers? And based on what you were saying about the bar, how we manage perception within that strategy of communication. That's my trick.
And now we get to the interesting stuff, because this is a classic pricing example, classic pricing challenge that you have. There are basically two ways to go that I find work best. One is you go very transparent and people can kind of tick the boxes. An example could be if you're going on a dinner cruise and there is a dinner cruise, the normal one, and then there's the dinner cruise with dinner. Right, so you can go sightseeing on the Bosporus in Istanbul. I did that recently. That was really nice. And then you had the option to buy a dinner cruise add-on. So there was price for Bosporus cruise, and then there was price with dinner cruise. And that meant you could buy one thing, or you could buy the other thing, or you could buy both. Just like if you're going to a restaurant, you can get the steak, and you can get the dessert, and you can get the soup, and you can get the wine. And then they often have menus where you get both the steak, the soup, and the dessert, and then it's at a cheaper price. So you pay £11 for the soup, and you pay £23 for the steak, and you pay £6 for the dessert. So that's a total of, okay, £39. And then if there's a meal, kind of a three-course menu that costs you £29, then, oh, that's a good deal. Because you're essentially saying, here are the components, and when I put the components together, they form the package. And if I get the package cheaper, then it's a good package. If I get it more expensive, it's a bad package. Just as we talked about before. Now, the tricky thing here is that when you're pricing something, or when you're doing that, that works less well when part of your experience is something nobody understands and nobody can price yet. Because if you said your deal includes the drink, the horse carriage ride, the breakfast, the museum, the park, then the park is tricky because the park is free, but it's valuable. So putting that in there as a, do you want the park or not? Then you're just adding a free option, like, of course I want the park, but you still know what it is. And if you're putting in something like, do you want the AI butler? Do you want the gossip Barnaby here? What does Barnaby cost? Is Barnaby 19 pounds? Is Barnaby 7 pounds? Is Barnaby 3 pounds? Or 99 pounds? And how do you justify that? And what do they compare with? They have most of your customers, your clients will have no idea where they know what a steak costs. They know what a drink costs. So if you say, hey, included in this price, they can easily do the mental math and they may be right or they may be wrong, but nobody knows what an AI gossip butler should cost. And that means that if you put that in as like one of these checkmark lists where you can select the butler for £14 extra, most people will have no idea if that's a good deal or not. And when you don't understand if something is a good deal or not, most of us default to thinking it's a bad deal, that they're out to trick me. Where if you do understand and you know, oh, normally an AI butler would cost £69, then you're thinking, oh, this Barnaby guy is probably crap because he's only 14. And if we instead imagine a world where AI butlers cost normally 19, then 14 sounds like a great deal. But right now, nobody knows and nobody understands what an AI butler is, where they know what a steak is and a drink is, and they have an idea of what a bus tour around the city is, because it's easy to compare, both because of the internet and because people are in general, a lot of them are experienced travelers these days. So when you're adding something that's unclear, my advice is always to put it as part of a bundle that you can't take it out, right? If you go into a restaurant and you order the lasagna, you get the lasagna, right? It could cost £16, it could cost £160, depending on the restaurant, but you get the lasagna. You can't choose the bechamel sauce costs £3 and the tomato costs £2 and the meat costs £6 or 7.50 if you want to add a little bit. And here's, you pay 10 pence for salt and then you pay for, it doesn't work that way. You buy the lasagna. You can't also say, I'd like it served directly on the table without a plate because then I get it cheaper. Or can you just serve that bread thing on the napkin without a knife because I'm just going to eat it and then it's cheaper, right? All these sorts of the things that are included when you buy a restaurant meal is, yes, you're getting the steak in this example. You're not getting the drink, that's separate, but you are getting the cutlery. You are getting the napkin. You are getting the chair to sit on, even though you're not paying for those things. They are included in the price. Very few restaurants say, and now we added £2 because you wanted a knife. But many of them say, now we added money because you wanted a drink.
That's actually a great example, because then would you actually almost say that the whole package or the whole proposal is about service, is about perception of service? You're going to, how you buying something that is not just the value of their pieces, but you cannot put a price, for example, in a fantastic serviette, a material serviette, as opposed to a paper serviette. You don't pay for it, but it's the whole wider overall feeling of the service that you're getting. Is that what you're saying?
Bingo. And what I'm saying is that when we understand how we value something, then it's easier for us to mentally figure out, is this a good deal or not? Does it feel like a good deal? Because then, even if you say, oh, but this lasagna was a bit expensive, and then your friend says, yes, but Anna, we're eating off this elegant silverware, and the napkins are hand folded Italian silk. And did you notice the bathrooms and the chairs? You're like, okay. Fair enough. I know I'm paying for more than just the food, even though you're paying for the food. Because there are two things at place here. One is, how do you structure a package? How much is included? How much do you like? Can you click the details and say, yes, I want extra salt and then it costs more? Or yes, I want a glass of wine, then it costs more. Like, which things do you actually pay for and which are add-ons? But the second is also, what are you paying for and what's included? When you buy wine at a fancy restaurant, you don't pay for the glass. Yet when you're going shopping, I was just out shopping just an hour ago, and there I paid for the bag. There was a time, not long ago, when rules were different, and you didn't pay for the bag was included. And now at many supermarkets, at least in Denmark, but also in the US where I just was, and in London, where you get the cheap bag, the almost flimsy bag, you can get that for free. But if you want the more solid bag, you have to pay.
Correct.
And sometimes it's a business decision, sometimes it's a legal decision. In Denmark, you have to charge for the bag because it's a way of reducing waste. But this, what is included when you buy the thing? When you buy the thing, what's included that is not the thing? And what do you charge for? And the more you combine things, the more you splatter everything together. If you come to me and say, Klaus, I will let you for £6,000, you will get a week-long experience designed by me. And then I'll say, okay, that sounds cool. What's included? And you say, everything. And I'm like, okay.
What's everything?
And what's everything, right? And then if you say, well, it includes the flights, I'm like, oh, that's nice. And the flights to where? There's a difference between Tahiti and Frankfurt. If you say it includes the food, does it include the wine? Is it steaks or is it crackers? Does it include the experiences? Are we going whale hunting for photos, not for hunting whales, but are we going like on a whale safari, or are you going to show me a beautiful park, right? Are we getting there by train or by air? Will I get to talk to you, or do I meet one of your staff members? All these things have value and all of them have a price. And the more we bundle something and say you can't separate, you can't talk about the details, or you can, but you can't choose not to, then you can make your prices differently. Because if you say you're selling me this week, and let's say it's in the Faroe Islands, and we're going on a whale safari, and we're gonna take beautiful walks in nature, and I'm gonna meet interesting people, and the food will be a mix of local delicacies and really nice luxury food, then I'm suddenly like, wow, those £6,000 sound like a really good deal. And then if I say, oh, but I don't want to see the whales, you're like, yeah, that's fine, but you're not going to save any money. Or the whales are an integral part of it, because you know that when I meet these interesting people you've lined up for me, what we'll talk about as an opener is the whales. The more you give people the chance to click and pick and choose, the more they can customize. But it's also harder because you're now breaking it down into, are you selling the lasagna or are you selling the tomato sauce and the garlic separately?
Do you know, we have had almost like an organic effect. I call it organic because we didn't plan it, we didn't create it, and we didn't see it coming. When about a year ago, a PR agency in the US created a press release and distributed, and we just wanted to kind of generate brand awareness in the US, which is at the moment our top market. The publications, online or offline publications, that actually picked the press release and agreed to run it with it, run the story and work with it, were 100% luxury travelers, Condé Nast publications. We didn't set to create luxury experiences. The other way around, we thought we wanted to make sure that we could offer luxury, affordable luxury, or quiet luxury, but those were let's say, 100 publications that we sent the press release. The luxury one was the one that picked it. And some of them came back to us with questions. Some of them said, could you give me the average price of your prices? Because we do believe your products are luxury, but I want to see the prices, average prices. And I thought, then that's when I come to terms with the fact that the price has not only an effect on the commercial, on the finance and the profit, but has as well a massive impact in terms of customer perception. And you were saying, for example, branding. I will tell you, I'm organizing the holidays for you for £6,000, and it's not Frankfurt, it's Tahiti, and so on. But when I'm telling you, I am that brand. For example, everybody knows, for example, if I tell you, oh, I bought those little lovely small earrings for Tiffany's. You know they're not going to be small earrings. You know they're not going to be cheap. You know they're going to have some sort of stone. It's that sense of brand perception. So if I tell you, oh, I pay £1,000 for a Tiffany's earring, you say, oh, that's a good price, because the brand came first than the price. You had already what I call it, conditioning. It's like conditioning your hair. It's ready. You're going to shine because you got a pre-idea. That's how I feel we need to find a way to communicate the brand. At the moment, B2B, because probably it's easier for us, understand the brand, understand that what we're doing is in people not only pay for their steak, or they pay for innovation, for storytelling, for they pay for something that somebody else doesn't have. And then we have two junctions. There are two very famous campaigns, historic campaigns. One I can tell you, I saw one yesterday, which I love it. He says, Coca-Cola claim they sold twice more Pepsi last year, more Coca-Cola than Pepsi, right? And then Pepsi create an advert in which a little kid walked down the street in a machine. He put a coin in the machine. Have you seen it?
No, but it sounds fun.
Oh, so he walks into that drinks machine, right? The cans. He put a coin and he gets a very, very short boy. He put a coin in the Coca-Cola and he gets one Coca-Cola. He put it on the floor. He get another coin. He put another Coca-Cola. He put them together. He stands on top of the two Coca-Colas. He put a coin on the higher bottom and he gets a Pepsi.
Oh, I love that.
That's how Coca-Cola sells twice more than Pepsi. That's hilarious, right? Very smart way to say.
That is hilarious.
And another one that I was very, very impactful. I remember it was a few years ago. I used to work for Intercontinental. It's like, and we felt the impact of it. It was actually very impactful. Premier Inn, which is a brand of hotels in the UK, said, "Take a holiday from Holiday Inn," and it was about don't use them, use us. So my sense is that I do not want to be our brand to be fit into luxury and then being another luxury brand because it's not what we're meant to do. We still want to be able to say that we are about innovation, storytelling, quirkiness, and what should be the best way to go? This is what we do that others don't, or this is what we do, and this is how we go around doing it. What do you think? What's the way to communicate?
So I think I have two thoughts on that. And the first one is,
Is that make sense, the question?
yeah, perfect sense, perfect sense. And I think the first thing is that let's talk airlines for a moment, right? You've flown quite a bit. I've flown quite a bit. Do you remember when it started being more normal that you had to pay for the soda and the meals, et cetera, on airlines?
The good old days where Stelios was still at college.
Yes, exactly. And many people think of it that way. They're like, oh, in the good old days, I didn't have to pay. Let's put it a little bit differently, saying, do you remember the times, the good old days, when the airlines ripped off passengers and made everybody pay for the meals and the soda, even if they didn't like them or eat them or use them? And then it's like, oh, now it's not the good old days. And one of the things is about perception. If I fly Ryanair, then I know, as I told one passenger, we were delayed. We were going to Scotland on a family vacation, and we were delayed at the airport for several hours, and it was terrible, and the heating was bad, and we were sitting there, and there's a guy in front of me, and we were talking with him, and we were having fun, but it was not a good experience, but it was fun because it was so bad. And I said at one point, I said, well, the problem is right now.
I love that. It was fun because it was so bad. Sorry, I just got to
Yes.
remember that.
And I told the guy, joking, I said, one of our problems is that on this flight with Ryanair, we're actually getting what we're paying for. And he laughed and said, precisely. We're used to Ryanair being something we use because it's bad, but it's so cheap that it's worth it. Like, there's a lot of money to be made in discount. There's a lot of loyalty to be made in discount because you know what you're getting. So on Ryanair, you have to pay extra for the booking SMS and for the oversized bag. And if you want to have a drink, you're going to pay for that. And if you want to check in fast, you're going to pay for all these things. And that's what Ryanair is selling, because they're saying we're going to take everything off of the price. So it's so cheap, you can hardly believe it. But if you want anything, you're going to have to pay extra, right? That's one model. The other model is Emirates. I love flying Emirates because with Emirates, and I had this, it was we were going down doing a film shoot in Abu Dhabi 8 years ago, and I had some people from my Polish team with me, who had never been to the Middle East, and they had, of course, never flown Emirates. So when the meals come and they have these nice menus, and the menus are even, they look nice. And then we're talking about, oh, this food sounds so good. And then I asked, just to be sure, I asked the one of the staff, I said, just to double check, this food, this lovely seeming food here, is that included in the price? And then he just smiles and says, welcome to Emirates. Because on Emirates, you don't pay for the food. You don't pay for the Coca-Cola you get in flight. You paid plenty. So, of course, it's included. And it also means on Ryanair, if I want more than my small bag, I have to pay extra. Now, that fits me fine because I travel light. But on the Emirates flights, I get one bag that can weigh up to 30 kilos as part of my basic economy ticket price. And I can bring a big backpack, and I can bring a small personal item. And if I bring some shopping bags from the airport, they're fine. And that's because it's Emirates. Everything's included. The minus side is that if I'm just traveling with a backpack, which I do, a small one, so it can fit on Ryanair flights, it means I'm still paying for that 30 kilos of luggage that I'm not using. I'm being ripped off in that sense because I can't choose not to have it. I can't say, hey, Emirates, I'd like to save some money because I'm not going to use that luggage. Then they say it's Emirates, everything's included. So on one hand, it's lovely. We all remember the good old days when everything was included, but the bad side is that we paid for them, whether we used them or not. But it's all a matter of perception. And a lot of us, when we're buying things, even though we know objectively that the Ryanair model means we don't have to buy the luggage space if we don't want to, and if we want it, we can just buy it. And the Emirates model means that everything is included and everything's nice and everything's a bit luxurious. But if we don't want that luxury, then there's no way to get away from it, right? When I order a burger at McDonald's, I've always, because I'm strange, I've never liked the ketchup or the mustard. So I've always ordered the burgers with no ketchup, no mustard. They don't give me money back because I don't use those ingredients. But if I order extra cheese, you can be sure I'm paying for it.
Correct.
Now, that's the first point it made, is that finding out what is included and what how is the perception. Do we want people to get the most efficient deal? Because then the Ryanair model is actually very good, because then they can pick and choose, and nobody's paying for the luggage they don't want. Nobody's paying for the martini they don't want because they don't drink alcohol, right? Nobody's paying for the horse ride they have to say no to because they're in a wheelchair. That's the Ryanair model. It definitely works. The other way is if you want a little bit more the luxury perception, or at least the nice, the comfortable, then you go Emirates. Then when they say, do I have to pay for this? You smile and say, welcome to Emirates.
Correct.
Right? And that's a huge choice. And both of them are successful airlines, but they're doing very, very different things. And where it goes wrong is when you go in the middle. Imagine sitting on an Emirates business class flight to Dubai. Right? You're flying London to Dubai, Emirates business class. Everything is elegant, everything's nice. You paid an insane amount to be there. And then they say, and then you say, oh, could I have an extra glass of wine? And then they say, yes, please. How would you like to pay? Credit card, or do you want to pay Emirates frequent flyer? Or do you want cash? You're going to be like, what? So I'm paying this insane amount. And because I'd like a little bit extra wine that's going to cost you nothing or very little, then now you're asking me to pay. And then you might do it because it's wine and it's good wine. But now imagine they're saying, do you want to pay £2 extra to get your flight confirmation on an SMS? It would feel weird. It would feel bizarre because that's not what they're selling. So, very, very key thing is figuring out what are you selling? And if you're selling like the convenience, the luxury, the all included, then make sure to include as much as you can. But if you're selling the transaction, the pick it apart, the efficiency, if you're selling for the customers who really care about the price, then make it good for them. But if you're selling for the ones who want it to be seamless and easy, then do that. And I think with what you're selling, with Barnaby, the AI butler who gossips, if I could, he would not be chosen on a Ryanair flight, but on an Emirates one, he's included.
And that's a very, very good example you put there in Emirates, because every time I tell somebody about value, I use Emirates. People said, Anna, why you fly business? I said, because I'm poor. And I said, what do you mean? Yes, if I'm smart and I looked at the flights of Emirates, I use a lot of Emirates. My sister used to live in Dubai and I go to Asia a lot. If I want to go to Asia, I rather fly Qatar or Emirates. But what Emirates has is that they pick you up at home with business. The car, they pick you back. Just that is already 500. It's four transfer journeys with the suitcase, two big suitcases. Usually I travel for work, so one of the suitcases has material, leaflets, something that I need to bring, t-shirts, God knows. So already not to have to ship that in a box via FedEx, and I can take in my suitcase, is 100, £150. The transfer is £400. The business lounge, I sit the other day at the Wetherspoons in Gatwick. We not talk, Wetherspoons is the Ryanair of the palm. And I remember it was a couple of glasses of wine and some chicken, and I paid something like £37. That already, I walk into the business lounge and I had a full meal and three glasses of wine and champagne for 2 hours. That could have been easily £100. So that's already £600. This is so at the end, the feeling is that if you know, if you can buy, and that's the thing with Costco. I don't know if you're familiar with brand, the Costco, that you pay more, but then you are paying less, I think. Because you can buy in bulk. In bulk, that's what you do, you buy everything, I suppose, as paying by bits. Because my sense of Ryanair is that you're buying everything, you just pay it by parts.
Yes.
Because I end up paying £6 for a tiny bottle of Prosecco. I just pay it by bits. I don't pay it in a bulk. So I'm literally, I need to have a creative strategy. And on the 17th of July, I've got a meeting with a board of advisors. They've got fantastic, very different people. And I would like them to tell them what should be our creative strategy in terms of communicating what it is that we are delivering, what you're getting for your money. That's my idea. I love to hear if you, you know. Shall we put the two cans and get the kid on the top and getting the Pepsi? Shall we say if you want a walking tour and somebody talking for 2 hours under the rain, that's fine. That's not us. If you want to, or that's us because you get this. What would you do if you were me? What strategy would you use?
One thing I would do is I would hire me. But no, apart from that, apart from that, what I would do is
I
that
agree. You are the Emirates.
I would.
It might sound like it's a lot, but then he has his return.
So what I would do is I would start by making it very clear to these people that if you are trying to be cheap, right? If you're trying to be cheap and transparent, let's call it Ryanair here, it means that you can only add things that people understand and understand are valuable. Everybody on Ryanair understands that a bigger bag is nicer for you because you want to bring your suitcase or your big backpack or your wheel on trolley thingy. So it's reasonable to pay for that. Everybody understands that if you get priority boarding, then you don't have to stand with all the rest of us cattle waiting to be boarded, and that's valuable. So they can upsell that quite efficiently. If you ask somebody, hey, you're doing this experience, do you want Barnaby the AI butler for plus £19? Then they'll have no idea because they won't know what it is. But if it's included, then they will love Barnaby and it'll make the whole package seem more worth it because Barnaby the AI butler is brilliant. Right. So if you are going for a known market that knows exactly what you're providing, then the transactional, the Ryanair approach has a lot of strength to it. Whether you're selling something expensive or something cheap, by the way, if you're selling cheap oranges or expensive oranges, you at least know as a customer, I'm buying oranges and I'm not paying for the bag, but I know more oranges is more expensive. But if you're selling to customers who don't understand, who don't know, they don't know what they want until you've given it to them. Remember the Henry Ford quote, right? Remember, if I'd asked them what they wanted, they would have said faster horses. None of them would have asked for Barnaby the AI butler,
Correct.
especially not in Ford's day. And that means if you're selling them wonder and you're selling them experience that they don't know they wanted until you've given it to them, then you can't put that in the price, but you can include it in the value.
Got it. I was kind of going that road, but you know when you think about something, but you just really require certification, which take us now to, I know it's a coaching podcast, but I love to hear your views on this. Which take us now to the famous Airbnb gate and get your guy gate of the past 2 weeks. What it is that those two brands are trying to do? Are they removing, and I have to be honest, a lot of those brands, online brands, took the opportunity, including Get Your Guide, because I remember during COVID, they did a big cleanup. They did, I remember at the arrival conference was online during COVID. They had a lovely networking conversation on the side where every other operator were complaining that Get Your Guide were not loading their products, they canceling my products. They said they're not going to be doing this, and I thought, I remember they're loading all my products. I have absolutely no issue. They're actually all over there. They're working very hard. So is it a sense of that now back to what you were saying, the Ryanair or the Emirates, is that we're moving into a atmosphere, an environment where consumers are more savvy and they know exactly what they're going for and what they want. And that's why you can actually generate and create a new generation of more complex quality, more appealing products that regardless the price, people are going to see as a value. For example, I wouldn't pay £5,000 for a Celine or a Prada bag, but if somebody offered it to me for £2,500, I know I'm in a good bargain. Still, it's 2,000 and a half. I am buying something that has a value. It's a Prada, it's last. I just want to tell people that I've got a Prada bag and that has no price. For all the rest, there is MasterCard. Is that where we're moving in terms of consumers? You think is that where the consumer's feeling is moving towards? I want something that is really amazing. I just want to pay a fair price for it.
No. I think that there is two things to this that are relevant, and one is the basic human thing about competence, right? Think about knowledge, that there are the things you do automatically because you're so good at them that you do them without thinking. They're simply hard-coded. Things like listening, or things like being funny, or things like breathing. Even these things are so much part of you that you just do them. You don't have to think about it. They come naturally. The second are the things you do because you know how to do them. You know how to write an application. You know how to structure a deal. You know how to do a presentation. You have to think about it, but as long as you concentrate, you're good. Then there are the things you know you're not good at. There are things that we're not going to mention them here, but there might be one or two things.
Oh, plenty, plenty. You need 2 hours.
There are things that we all have that we're not good at, and we know. Then there are the things we don't know we're not good at. And then there are the things we don't even know exist. And that progression, whether it's in how you use a smartphone or how you are as a traveler or how you use AI or how you do use any sort of technology or culture, what do you know about football? All these sorts of things are constantly moving. But what we're definitely seeing is that because of technology and because of the rise of more wealthy people traveling more and more people spending money on experiences rather than on products, we see more people who know what they're talking about and more people who think who know what they're talking about and more people who are so good and so knowledgeable, they don't even think about it anymore. So that part is definitely on the rise, but I don't think that's specifically travel. I think that is general human, that just like you now, if you went back 20 years and said, "Do you use the internet?" Not everybody would say yes. Now, you don't ask that question anymore. And the ones you do, it's more about people who think they know what to do and they don't. So it's rise in competence and awareness in various things, whether it's knowledge about gender, or it's knowledge about travel, or it's knowledge about how to buy experiences. So that I think is that thing. I think the second thing we're seeing is, and I'm tempted to get into bigger subject, but for those of you listening, if you Google Veblen goods and Giffen goods, but especially Veblen goods, then you might find something interesting. I'll just leave that there as a cliffhanger because it takes a little bit too long for us to get into it. But the simple version here is that one of the things we also write that in our pricing book is that if you want something that you just need to tick a box, you want a gift for your annoying nephew that you don't like, but you need to make his mother happy, then you're going to check out what's the budget she'll accept. Oh, is it £10? Good. Then you buy anything at £10 that he might be remotely interested in. And if you can save a few pounds, that's even better. As long as you know it was seen somewhere at £10, then you can tell the mother, here's this teddy bear or this model doll or whatever this Pokemon, whatever it is, and you can say you've satisfied the requirement. On the other hand, if it's your favorite nephew who you love dearly, then you're not trying to go as cheap as possible. In fact, you might feel proud about saying, I spent £50 or £100 on that nephew's birthday. And if you can get something at half the price, then you're just going to buy two of them because you want to tell both yourself and maybe the mother in this case, or the parents just, or the nephew, if it comes to that, you want to be able to say, I spent a lot. And I think what we're seeing is that because it's never been easier with social media to be seen by more people. Now, that leads to a lot of bad stuff. It leads to depression. It leads to conflict. It leads to all these sorts of crazy things. Social media has good sides, but it has plenty of bad. But one of the things it also does,
Oh, that's
yeah, but let's not
subject.
open that. Let's
That's
not open that.
subject to a whole new thing because
We're
then
not opening that.
you've got that whole crowd of content creators slash travel guide creators slash travel, which I don't really know what the existence of a travel guide creator when you have ChatGPT
We're
and
not
all
going down
sorts
that.
of.
We're not going
But
down
we're
that.
not going down the road because that's a
Yeah.
whole new conversation.
We're not going down that. But there is one thing about that is that you now have more and more customers who are not just buying the experience, but who are buying the story of the experience in a way that can be told in a format that they have access to people who are listening. And if you don't take that into account, whether we talk about Instagrammable or story friendly or brand heavy or whatever you want to talk about, that is also a factor that it means that you need to re decide A, what sort of like, are you selling luxury? Are you not? Are you selling transparent? Are you selling all inclusive? But you also need to figure in, are you selling the story or are you selling the experience? And those are not necessarily the same. And also added to that, are you selling the ability to show the story or are you selling the experience? That it's really nice for experiences to go to parties where people say everybody leaves their phone at the door because that can be some pretty wild parties. However, if nobody has heard about the fancy club you went to in Berlin that has that policy, then you're willing to pay less because then your story goes from I went to the Kit Kat Club in Berlin and we left the phones by the door and people going, oh my God, you were in the Kit Kat Club? That must have been expensive and cool, to I went to this club in Berlin you've never heard about and I had to leave my phone by the door. And they're like, okay, cool, bro. Good story. Right? So you also have to realize how easy are you making it for people to tell the story and how much is the story part of what you're selling. So part of my campaign, if I was running it for you, would be to decide, A, who are we selling to and what does our pricing look like? But also when we're communicating it, are we communicating this is an experience you won't have any pictures from because you'll be so immersed? Or this is an experience that'll look good on pictures? Or this is an experience that you won't need pictures from? Or just if we're thinking pictures, it's more, but this is an experience that will give you stories for a lifetime. It's very different from this is an experience that'll be so profound you'll never want to tell any about it. Both are interesting, but they're very different. So that would be my thing. But since we are we don't have time to go down that rabbit hole, though it would be cool. What we do instead is we're getting to the round off phase, and that means, and I'm going to thank you for bringing your trouble to me and to our listeners. Means that if somebody out there is inspired by our conversations, that is mainly thanks to you being open and sharing a challenge. Thank you for that. That takes courage.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the second is I want you to think for a moment, and then I want you to think of three things you take away from our conversation.
So much. Three is I just came with loads of questions and I've got a lot of answers. Does that make sense? I've most okay. Let's not say three things, but let's say two junctions. Let's call it junctions. Again, talking about the rabbit hole and Alice in Wonderland, right? If you don't know where you're going, anywhere will take you. You remember?
Yes.
I had a suspicion, or in my mind, I had some sort of idea that I was going the right way. But now I just, it's so good to have certification that, yes, what you're talking about, I'm more clear about Barnaby and what that value could be, and definitely more clearness on price. And thank you for that. It's I need to start kind of preparing that, launching the new product without communicating and giving them a price without communicating what's the cost and what it is and what you're going to be doing. It was almost like creating something, have a beautiful blonde in a dark room and not being able to just show it to the world in all his splendor or whatever it is that, you know, because I think that it doesn't matter if it's a walking tool or if it's a bicycle or everything has a splendor, everything has a value. And most important as well, and I think what we have in our side, which helps a lot, is that we didn't before, and we didn't for a long time, but we now kind of understand our audience. They're all the same. It's almost like we put them in a toaster. Our customers are all beautifully the same. They're all similar to each other. We even ask them, we have three questions we ask the guides to ask them. Why you came to this experience? What are you planning to get out of it? The second is, which hotel are you staying? And you want us to take pictures of you and then we distribute them to everyone? So we understand what kind of hunger they've got and what they expect from their day. And funny enough, they're all staying in the same hotels, people that don't know each other at all. Thank you so much, Klaus. Absolutely. I'm super, super grateful for your time. And it's been super, super useful to me.
Thank you for that. That is hard not to feel happy about. I'm glad that some of it resonated. And for those of you out there listening in, you've heard Anna Karina Rack and me, Klaus Rostel, your host. This has been the Innovation Coaching Podcast. Thank you for listening.